when you have, like, you take Leinster and Munster, and you have Tyburn doing these incredible turnovers on both try lines, they should be real momentum swings, and that magnification of the crowd screaming and as if they've won the game, and the fist pumping and everything, and that reverberation for, for seconds, if not minutes, after those moments. And then you've got Ben Healy, he pops up and smashes a 70-yard kick up to the halfway line. Those should all be really, really hard to come back from. But because you don't have the crowd there, the momentum swings for the home, where you're kind of, you're almost spoiled when you're used to them there. They're not as magnified and not as there. So if you take the foot off the pedal, which Munster did at the weekend, it lets the other team come back into it. So that kind of game management and that psychological approach to mistakes has to be really, really powerful, because when you're the away team now, you're going over, you drop a high ball. Oh, do you know what? You don't have anybody screaming, and you don't have 50,000 people screaming at you. You've got one guy, you've got one or two loudmouths on the other team, and that's it. It's easier to forget about mistakes and to keep coming. But then when you're the attacking team, you're also used to that, that energy and that endorphin rush when you get those big moments, and they're not there. So it's that's almost that psychological warfare. And a thing that's often underplayed is that mental resilience, being mentally prepared for that. So if you're the away team going away, Ireland going over there, that almost being fearless and going, like, there's nobody here to judge us. We can keep coming. Even if we make 100 mistakes, we can just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. That relentless onslaught. And it's whoever manages that better between them and the home team who goes, so they have to almost forget about the crowd as well. That's why I was kind of wondering, as they feeling that it does have a balancing effect at the moment, and that home advantage. It used to be 75% of home games in the Six Nations. I wonder, is that going to drop a little bit in the Six Nations?
Do you think it'll play a factor in the Principality Stadium as well?
I think so. The Wales still have that DNA of always being able to, never being out of games. That's kind of deep embedded in how they play rugby. They are definitely wounded from 2020, much the same way Ireland are. So it is really an interesting game. And how this one plays out, you just don't know. There's an awful lot of ifs and ands around Ireland. If we get our scrum right, if we get our line out functioning, we've said we can play heads up rugby, we've said we can play on the front foot if we get these things right. So it's a big question mark for us. If we get those bits right, do we deliver? And then from a Welsh perspective, there's an awful lot of pressure coming from them. When does that pressure get released back onto the opposition? Is it us? Is it next week? Do we need to beat them? Is it the next team that suffers from it? So there's an awful lot on the line here. So there's much more external pressure rather than that, immediate pressure, which might be from a crowd and the atmosphere and the occasion. An awful lot of external pressure, which is building over the last 12 months.
We'll certainly be watching with interest anyway. And, we were third place last year, a lucky third place, I guess you could probably say, given that, Scotland and Wales probably won't be as bad as they were last year. What would suggest progress to you if, we do get the five games played and we're looking at the table? Do we
It's
need to be
like,
up to
you know what,
second?
it's very hard. Like, it, and I think it's silly to try and predict what that looks like now. There's five games to go. I think we have to look at it. We have to look at performances individually, unit-wise, and then collectively. You've got to, there's the unknowns, the bounce of a ball. We lost to Wales, I think it was 2010, from a quick throw-in, an illegal quick throw-in, well, whenever it was, from Mike Phillips. So little things like that can derail championships. So I think context is going to be very, very important for this. For me, just growth from 2020. So a functioning set piece is going to show progress. It's going to show the management team have got a handle on it. This heads up rugby that we talked about, the kind of second playmaker scoring tries, going after them from open play, the way we kick the ball, all those things are going to be picked apart at the end of Six Nations. I think they show growth. I think from a I think we have to be realistic and go, if you're looking just purely placement on the board, second, I think, will be a phenomenal achievement. Third is what you would expect, and that's kind of par for the course. And fourth is an underachievement.
And just one final question. Looking at the Ireland squad of 36 men, is there any one player in particular needs to have a good Six Nations for you?
Yeah, I think Conor Murray is a guy who could really kickstart something. You know, if we get a functioning line out and speed of ruck is somewhat, you know, playing off medium to fast ball, I think we could see a resurgence in Conor Murray, because it would also take an awful lot of the focus off of 10 and who's doing what there. So yeah, I would really, really like to see Conor Murray back to his best. He's been dropped. He's gotten that rocket up his jacksie, and he seems to have responded well, but we need to see it now at that kind of elite level. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. His box kicking has been fantastic. His general play has been good. His, you know, he looks fit, he looks healthy, he looks hungry, and a little bit of edge. Be great to see him. I think he could be a real catalyst.